We gather in our cathedral, the Mother Church of the Diocese of Spokane. It is my honor to share in this moment in Mother Catherine Joseph and Sister Mary Elizabeth's lives as religious women. It's also my opportunity to acknowledge the presence of religious women, both contemplative and apostolic, who continue to serve Christ and his people here in Eastern Washington, the presence of the sisters as well as the priests who are here, and in a very special way, the concelebrants here. We have Father Connell, the rector of the cathedral and vicar general, and played an instrumental role in the sisters coming from the Mount, Father O'Brien, Father Cruz, Monsignor Pearson, and Father Eric Gilbert from the Diocese of Helena. Deacon John's presence here is significant in that the sisters, when they came, lived at the retreat house, as you know. And that is an opportunity for us to thank Deacon John and his ministry there. And of course, you, sisters, family, and friends, and the faithful here of our diocese. Come to me, all you who are labored or burdened, words from Jesus that are directed to disciples of all ages. And as we come tonight in a celebration of fidelity, of 50 years of service as a religious woman, we may feel, however, that life does burden us. And we appreciate the times we come to this beautiful cathedral or our parish churches or the chapels in our convents and houses of formation, which allows us to be more reflective, to allow the words of Jesus to seep deeply into our souls. Now, we know weariness comes and goes at all stages of our lives. Earlier this week, for the last few days, and concluding today, the priests of the diocese were at what we call our priest assembly days, when we take a topic and study. And today we had a beautiful presentation from Kevin and Jamie Carey about family life and about the beauty of marriage, but also the challenges that married people face. Whatever our vocation may be, beginning as students and as we grow older, we do experience discouragement, and it can accompany weariness. Burdens increase or decrease depending upon our health, the responsibilities we carry, financial worry, prayers for children and grandchildren, the burdens of doing well in school or at work. No matter who we are, whether religious or priest or layperson, many times burdens are increased because we allow society to define us. In other words, I am what I do, I am what others say about me, I am what I have. When we celebrate vows, whether anniversaries or first vows or perpetual vows, we know that religious take a vow of poverty. But that doesn't exempt them from the human condition. And thus we see in Jesus that though he lived only 33 years, and he knew that most of us would live a lot longer than that, those words, come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, I will give you rest, remind us that we can find Christ in the sacraments, in the Eucharist, and we must never yield to the temptation that tries to convince us again that we are on our own, that we're left to our own resources. But rather, Jesus reminds us, he will show us the way. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. Gentleness and humility are not vows that are taken by either priest or religious, but they're virtues that Jesus thought were important for his followers. Unfortunately, they are dismissed today, often confused with lacking a backbone or an unwillingness to stand up and fight for what is right. In fact, think about it. Self-assertiveness is much more highly prized. Violence is promoted and even glorified. But humility is the grateful recognition of our goodness. And acknowledging this goodness is a gift from God. But I know that many of you here today have played a significant role in the Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Church, through your prayers, through your generosity, through your support. In so doing, you too remind us that you are a gift from God, as is courage and gentleness, though they may be countercultural. And if we define culture by its dominant value, competition, not cooperation, is what we're told. And yet in a religious community of sisters, as in a diocese, we must be in communion with one another as we share in this call to holiness. We often know very little about true humility, and I suspect that is why there's so much trouble and not enough peace in homes and communities. Proud and arrogant people do not bring peace. Yet as we gather to celebrate commitment over these years, we also again have to be honest that following Christ is never easy, and thus the image of a yoke is very essential to us. At the time of Christ, scripture scholars tell us that yokes were custom made for the animal, for that animal and that animal alone. If they were ill-fitting, it would lead to irritation, infection, and with the heat of the Middle East, it would cripple an animal, oftentimes the only source of income for the lower classes at the time. Now, the image of the yoke reminds us that Jesus knows each of us as individuals. He knows what we're capable of handling and what is asked of us. And what is asked of you may not be asked of me. And thus, in a religious community, each sister or brother or priest, or in each diocese, brings one's individual talents and gift to be shared for the greater glory of God. And God always gives the grace that is needed. You and I should never forget that we are beloved sons and daughters of God, and that is our core identity. In fact, the sisters and all of us, our first vocation came from baptism, a call to live lives of holiness. And we need to hold on to that because, again, the burdens will inevitably come. Life doesn't change. But you and I must spend quiet time with those words, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened." We're living at a time when many people think that the whole idea of commitment, a year, let alone 50 years or more, is difficult, even impossible. Because when we make a commitment, it means we limit our options. And thus there is this trend or this phenomenon, or whether it's imagined or not, called FOMO, fear of missing out. It's seen in college students. They don't want to commit to one thing because in so doing, that call that may come in 2 minutes before may bring them into another direction of more fun. So there is this lack of willingness to commit oneself. But the religious life, as in the priesthood and marriage, involves a radical choice to commit oneself for life to what is truly a vocation, a calling from God. And humanly speaking, it may seem impossibly difficult to make a commitment, perpetual vows, because I don't know how I'm going to feel on Tuesday, let alone 50 years from now. How can I commit myself to this person for the rest of their lives? Think of what happens when so often young people delay getting married. Yet Jesus invites us to learn from him. And the history of the church is the story of thousands of men and women who made a great act of faith in God and have set out on the path of total commitment. The fact that religious life and priesthood and marriage are true vocations does not mean that life remains easy. We know it is often without much reflection to begin something, a marriage or a religious life, with sort of a romantic idealism, imagining the kind of life it will be. But there are always struggles, and the sisters, you know that more than I do. Part of these struggles was the upheaval of the church in the mid-60s. Other times, it's something as simple as the daily routine. And in talking with religious, we know that community life can be a cross at times. Married vows said for better or worse in good times and bad. We don't say that when vows are taken, but it's true. And one of the great virtues is needed is perseverance. Perhaps best expressed by St. Vincent de Paul when he said, "God's grace is necessary to begin and ever more necessary to persevere until the end." In my own 32 years of priesthood and 8 years as a bishop, I have found, and I'm sure the sisters know, God is never to be outdone in his generosity. and that he gives us so much more than we could have ever imagined. In asking both Sister Mary Elizabeth and Mother Catherine Joseph to give me a bit of their vocation story, it's very clear, both from Sister Elizabeth's own family life with Holy Name sisters in her extended family, and they were her teachers in school, the witness they gave helped inspire her. Mother Catherine Joseph, who spent time in San Francisco at a school that I'm very familiar with, St. Immedius, and at a high school, Mercy, before she moved to Southern California, had a bit of an unusual background. I was surprised. Sister Mother said that when she was in fourth grade, she designed her own habit, sewed it, and walked the hallways of St. Immedius, pretending to be one of the Sisters of St. Joseph. I suppose that could be outdone by Father Connell, who dressed up as a Monsignor in second grade at Trinity School, still holding on to that dream. But both Mother Catherine Joseph and Sister and all of you remind us of the importance of giving witness. In my years as a vocation director, and now as Father Atriste assumes this responsibility from Father Barnett, it's important to remind young people that God continues to call, that he will give us what we lack, and that it's so important for us to trust. And thus, with the name of Sister Mary, Mother of the Church, and I believe the intercession of Mother Teresa and the missionaries of charity and other faith-filled lay men and women, religious, the prayers that have been offered for the sisters are prayers that have sustained you these years. And just as the Lord called you 50-plus years ago and continues to sustain you, the Lord will continue to call a next generation of young men and women to hear that call to priesthood and religious life. Again, it is not an easy life, but it is one ultimately full of joy and peace. And to know that at the end of the day we have done God's work is the ultimate source of peace and joy. So we share with you as the Church of Eastern Washington in this day, and we pray that the Lord will bless you with great health, and we ask that you pray for our diocese, that you continue to have the grace to inspire a next generation that will proclaim the gospel in season and out.